Hi, this is Pastor Greg, and you're listening to Chosen Generation Radio. Get more at ChosenGenerationRadio.com. That's Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glass.
My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
Sexual predators and comprehensive sex education both break down inhibitions. That's what they start with. They also gain trust with the child and then slowly start to get them towards sexual activity.
Anything goes. You are teaching children adult child sex. You're teaching transgender issues. And, you know, children are moldable and influenced by that.
They said, okay, now we need you and your team to be able to explain what homosexuality is to a four-year-old student.
To introduce this kind of material at that age, frankly, it's child abuse.
You're going to teach our children that it's okay for any two children of any age, of any sex, to have sexual intercourse with each other as long as two components are present. One's using a condom and they both give consent. Did I hear that correctly?
It's not a neutral venue. There's no such thing. Okay, the schools are doing your job. They are discipling your children, but they're not discipling them in the faith of Jesus Christ.
It's only the exceptional child that even survives that system. Most do not survive. Most have not survived.
They believe that children are sexual from birth and that they deserve and have the right to be sexually active and to seek sexual pleasure. And if anyone is stopping them from that, then you are judging and oppressing them.
Even kindergarten now, they're wanting to teach them more and more perverse information and acts and put that into the children's minds. And once that poison is in a child's mind, it doesn't leave. They'll always remember what they learned. And it's by design, it's orchestrated.
In my humble opinion, it will be worse before it gets better.
Hi, I'm Tim Sheff, a certified natural health practitioner of over 40 years. I want to introduce you to a product that changed my life. The product's called Vibe, available at cgrwellness.com. I thought I was on a good nutritional program before I discovered Vibe. I was taking the traditional vitamin mineral tablets, wasn't really feeling any different. So I tried Vibe. Vibe is an all-in-one vitamin mineral supplement. It's a liquid multivitamin. It's cold-pressed, whole-food sourced, non-radiated, gluten-free, and has no pasteurization. Vibe is like fresh juicing without all the work. It supports four areas of the body: cardiovascular health, immune health, anti-aging, and healthy cell replication. Vibe is available in a 32-ounce bottle for home use or a very handy 1-ounce travel packet for life on the go. The first time I tried Vibe, I had more energy in about 20 minutes. I started thinking clear. Even believe I slept better. Get yours today at cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio at checkout and receive $20 off your first order of $50 or more. That's cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio. Get yours today.
These statements have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Any of the products do not treat, reduce, cure, or prevent disease.
Welcome to Chosen Generation with your host, Pastor Greg Young.
And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses. I'm your host, Pastor Greg. Thanks so much for being here. I know you have a choice of where you can listen each and every day. Thank you for keeping it tuned here. Hour number two. If you missed any parts of hour number one, you can pick that up at the website, ChosenGenerationRadio.com. ChosenGenerationRadio.com. Kaylin Dorr joined us from Tusk Browser. We talked about free speech and issues around that and how we deal with those. And we had some great conversation, too, really that illustrated how we can have conversations about things and agree and disagree and just have a pleasant conversation. And then followed that up with Richard C. Lyons, historian Richard C. Lyons, Encourage you to get over to Richard's website, and he's got some really very powerful. The DNA of Democracy is available now. You can get that up both print, digital, and Audible. Shadows of the Acropolis, which is very prophetic, and But by the Chance of War as well. So just some great books over there that you can pick up from Richard C. Lyons. All right, working right now, and I think we have made contact. I want to welcome Chris Skates to the program. Chris, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Thank you. Sorry for the signal problems. Do you have my numbers in case we drop again?
No, I don't. Hang on a second. Let me do a quick break and I'll get that. I don't want you to have to give that out over air. Just one second.
Okay, thank you.
Look, I am for marriage between a man and a woman. I am for life from conception. I am for following the Bible, and I believe that our founders started this nation on biblical principles. I am in support of our military and believe that America should play a role in world security. I believe our Constitution was intended for a moral people and that the Bible contains the only true moral code. I believe we are all born sinners and that God in His grace and mercy sent His Son Jesus Christ to die for our sins, and that if we will confess our sins, He is just and righteous to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I believe salvation is not just accomplished in a little prayer, but that it is found in how that transformation is lived out. Jesus is to be the Lord of our lives, and we should follow biblical precepts. This is not legalism or works, but a life lived out in love and honor towards the one who died for my sins. Faith without works is dead and is no faith at all. I believe that we will fall and that we need to have a repentant heart, and that God will ultimately bring us into perfect action through Jesus Christ. Spirit man perfected and soulish man in progress. I believe that we are not to live in guilt and shame when we fall, but we repent and get up and move closer to Jesus. I believe that if our nation will repent and turn from wickedness, that God will heal our land. I believe that as a Christian, I must occupy until He comes, and that to call evil wicked and to warn about those evil acts is a part of the mandate of Christianity. That to love also means to be willing to take the risk necessary to confront a friend with the truth in hopes that their heart will be turned because their life matters, even if it means, in that moment, they will possibly hate me. It means that I must risk scorn to stand for truth, and that I can never sit silently by while evil attempts to conquer the world. God is my everything, and Jesus is the love of my life. That does not make me weak, but strong, not silent, but bold, and not fearful, but courageous. Therefore, if you are my friend, while we may not fully agree, know that I share what I share because I care. If you strongly disagree with these beliefs, they are not debatable for me, and you can, if you choose, unfriend me. I do not say this in anger, but in love. I wish for you eyes to see and ears to hear that Jesus Christ is the only way to salvation, and that God, not man, gets to decide what is truth, life, and the way. God bless you.
And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses. I'm your host, Pastor Greg, and I'm very pleased to welcome my next guest to the program. Chris Skates joins us from an undisclosed location. Chris, welcome. Good to have you with me. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me, and sorry for the signal issues, but we've got each other's number, so you call me if it drops again, and we'll talk by phone.
100%. 100%. I sure will. Well, let's get right into this while we've got some good signal going on. A place where signals seem to be crossed is on the floor of the House and behind the closed doors of the House with regards to the Speaker of the House situation. Let me first ask what was your take with regards to Matt Gaetz's move and what he did with regards to Speaker McCarthy?
I actually would have been sympathetic to it two Congresses ago, or maybe even one Congress ago. I see where he's coming from. I thought his timing was lousy. I still have some contacts on the Hill, and I spoke with one of them the night before McCarthy was ousted, and this is a guy that I trust, and he tells me that McCarthy had actually gotten more concessions from the Democrats than we've ever had, or at least in the last 7 or 8 years, and it was just not a good time. Granted, I'm not for continuing resolutions in any case, but under the Senate that we're currently working with, I think he had the best deal he could get, and I just think Gates' timing was poor.
To that end, you know, I mentioned to you in a green room that I'm in Texas. When I first started this program almost 12 years ago, we had a supermajority in the House, a supermajority in the Senate, and we had a Republican governor. And yet, on average, if we were lucky, we would get one piece of the platform that we worked endless hours on through our House, our Senate, and our governor. One piece. And I sat down with Harvey Hildebrand, who was the representative at the time, and he said, well, you know, we need to compromise because one day the Democrats will be in charge. And if we compromise with them now, then when they're in charge, then they'll compromise with us.
Yes, that's absurd. And we had the same problem in Kentucky. I spent 4 years in the Kentucky state capitol serving Governor Matt Bevin. And we had supermajorities, and we still are slow walking stuff, even to this day, with an even bigger majority in the legislature. So I totally agree that we needed to fight much harder, much sooner. And so from that standpoint, I do sympathize with Gates's and the eighth position. But when you've got one of my barometers is one of your guys there in Texas, Chip Roy, who I've got a tremendous amount of respect for. My first politician that I ever worked for was actually Ted Cruz. And I've got a lot of respect for Chip, and Chip wasn't 100% for this either. So when you lose Chip, you're kind of losing me too.
You know, I hear you. Chip's a friend of mine, and I'm not going to say anything that I haven't specifically told Chip. Chip was also one of those that jumped on the bandwagon of going after the J6 people right out the gate and accusing and suggesting that they were all, you know, insurrectionists and bad actors, and they all needed to have the guillotine thrown at them. And to this day, he has not yet apologized for that. And I have to tell you, there are a number of people here in his area that are getting more and more fed up with that. I mean, I remember the day when Chip Roy missed a plane flight home because he found out they were about to do one of these omnibus votes, and he went back to the floor to vote no to stop it.
Right. Go ahead.
No, you're fine. No, this is great. No, this is what I like. Hey, brother, we're having a great conversation. This is wonderful, truly.
So I'll put my Trump advisor hat back on. not to talk out of both sides of my mouth, but one thing that I learned from serving in the Trump administration is the swamp is real and it is deep. And even good people get sucked into it. And so I can't support one of those positions that you just described for Chip. The J6 thing was an abomination. I was actually in the hospital in Washington, D.C., battling cancer when January 6th happened. And I knew as it was happening live that it was a false flag. Right. I know Trump supporters well enough to know they don't behave that way in and of themselves.
Yep.
So, yeah, I can't support that position of Chip, and very much needs to apologize. But I'm going to stick with what I said about McCarthy. I just think the timing was bad. And that aside, it's done now. So let's at least get a speaker in there pronto, especially with what's going on.
And so now becomes the question Gates even said, he said, look, I'd support Jim Jordan or Scalise. Now, according to some of those that are part of the conference, according to some of the things that I've read, Marjorie Taylor Greene is one. Massey, who I think is from your state, right? Your area?
Yes. I know Thomas.
Okay, so Thomas has said, I will not support Scalise because he doesn't have a plan. He doesn't have a, and that Jim Jordan in their conference laid out, this is what I'll do, this is what I'll force the other side to do, and how I'm going to make them remain accountable. And I get what you're saying about the Senate, but even still, you can expose the Senate, you can expose this president, and we've got to get the majority of the American people to know how bad these actors really are.
Agreed. And so would you support Jordan?
Yes, I would.
I would too. That's where I think the compromise has to go. I'm not really sure how Scalise got shoehorned in. I don't know what was going on behind the scenes. I didn't get that much inside information. And my talk was the day before that happened. But yeah, I say let's get Jim Jordan in there. If we can get a majority of votes, I'm okay with him. He's done some good things through the years. There's hardly anybody that I agree with 100% of the time anymore in politics. So
yep.
Yeah, let's get Agreed. Jim Jordan in there and get some done. And as you said, expose the rhinos in the Senate and expose the Democrats for who they are.
Well, because I think that, you know, once we lay this out, if we can get the American people to actually see it, to really see it, to have the blinders taken off so there's no, you know, nobody's feeding them a line of BS and they really see it, I think the American people are going to go, wait a minute. No, that's not what we signed up for. That is really not what we want.
And, you know, we see that taking place a little bit across the culture. It's not taking place as rapidly as I'd like it to or right. as broadly, but a few people are starting to get their blinders off.
Well, I think part of that, though, Chris, wouldn't you say, and I had Richard Lyons, we were talking, he has a historical view of this, but wouldn't you suggest that perhaps, and I think you and I with our gray hair are probably about the same age, wouldn't you suggest that part of this is an indoctrination issue? The fact that we do have schools and contrary to it being labeled as a conspiracy, the reality is that we have indoctrinated generations to embrace things that are actually not American ideals?
Oh, absolutely. The Department of Education, people say the Department of Education is a failure. No, it's an enormous success. Because their entire goal from their inception was to insert communism into our education system. And they've done it extremely effectively. Yeah, that's a big part of the problem. And then amongst the baby boomers, which I have to admit I'm a part of, the willing ignorance of the baby boomers never ceases to frustrate me. I've spoken in churches. I've spoken around a lot of Republicans since the Trump administration, and I was really mortified to find out how disengaged they became after the last year of the Trump administration. They took a lot of what President Trump accomplished for granted. By the way, my expertise is in energy, and I can say unequivocally President Trump was the greatest energy president in American history. They took his accomplishments for granted and hyper-focused on a couple of tweets here and there, and then elected the fake nice guy Andy Beshear in Kentucky and Joe Biden in Washington, or allowed it to happen because they didn't vote. And so, yeah, the education system has really failed us. The culture has failed us. And if I may, famous plug here, one of the reasons I write novels is the right does a terrible job engaging the culture.
Right.
Thank you for having me on. But when one of our own, writes really compelling fiction, as I do, I have a very difficult time getting a hearing in the conservative media because they all take themselves so seriously, and they all say, as one of the biggest outlets told me, who I know several of the people that are executives there, said, no, we're a hard news site. We're strictly hard news. And I said, well, guess what? That's why you're losing the culture on an express train.
Well, But hard news that's tainted with falsities and lies and shadows. I mean, you know, I look, you and I are having a great conversation that more of America needs to hear and more of America needs to be aware of. You know, when you write a fictional piece, You write a fictional piece, though, from real life experience. So you're trying to engage people in what real life could be like, and they can connect with a character, they can connect with a storyline, they can put themselves in it. You can do the same thing with news. Look, news is real life, so why not present it in a way that engages the audience and says, hey, this could come to your neighborhood, and here's why you need to be involved.
Yes, yes.
I don't know. Maybe I'm an idiot. I don't know.
No, I agree. And two quotes from the brilliant Alexander Solzhenitsyn that dovetail with the point you just made. He said that the number one difficulty of living under Soviet communism was not the lack of medical care, was not even the lack of food. It was the nonstop, never-ending bombardment with lies, lies, lies. That's the America that we live in today. It's very difficult for Generation Z to know what's going on in the world because they're constantly lied to. But then the other part of the other Solzhenitsyn quote that's fitting is he said, it's the duty of every citizen to stand against lies. But art can do more than that. Art can defeat. Oh, yes. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Art can defeat lies. And that's what I try to do through my fiction. I try to defeat lies by using good storytelling, compelling stories that aren't vanilla pudding like some Christian fiction tends to be, that's gritty enough to be real but not so dark as to stain your soul, and help overcome the lies of the culture.
Give me that website where folks can go to, Chris, to find your works of fiction.
Right now I'm an Amazon.com guy, so you can go to Amazon.com and then the plus sign Chris Skates, and I've got 4 novels on Amazon. My new novel, just go to Amazon Books and search on Moonshine Over Georgia. It's a murder mystery where my grandfather is the protagonist. It's about a murder case that he actually solved in 1946. It's about 50% fact, 50% fiction, very well researched, about one of the most compelling murder cases in Georgia history. Moonshine Over Georgia on Amazon Books.
Okay, I've got that now underneath your name, so folks can start with that particular title. Two thoughts that come to mind that I want to hit in the last 6 or 7 minutes that we've got here. One is, you wrote speeches. We're talking about influence, influential people giving influential speeches can change history. I think about, you know, President Lincoln right at Gettysburg, 4 score, some of the Reagan speeches that were given that have really kind of set the course of conservatism, if you will. Clinton has some speeches of his own that he has made that have, redirected America's history. Obama had made some speeches. Trump is known for his ability to be able to communicate. Talk to me about how speeches make a difference relative to this change of direction we're talking about.
Well, Winston Churchill certainly jumps off the pages of history as one of the truly great orators of our time.
Loves
Reagan,
him.
As you said. I would encourage your listeners to go to Google, and it's difficult to find because of the internet's blockade. Go find President Trump's speech in Poland when he spoke on the anniversary of the Polish resistance. It is one of the greatest presidential speeches ever given. I later got to work with that speechwriting team on a speech for President Trump about energy that he gave in Pennsylvania. I got to write one for Vice President Pence. But I think some of President Trump's speeches were very underrated, primarily because they didn't get the media attention that they should have, because the media was so not just biased, but partisan. But you're absolutely right. Good communication and a good, well-delivered speech can still change hearts and minds. And that's what I always tried to do in my speech writing. I was very fortunate. I worked for one of the great speakers in a governor's office in America. Matt Bevin was an incredible speaker. Now, that's a double-edged sword for a speechwriter, because he was also very good on his feet, and very good extemporaneously, and he didn't like to use a teleprompter. So sometimes I would have gorgeous prose written for him, and he would start with my speech, and then he would go off on his own tangent and still give a good speech, but he'd leave out something that I had really hoped he would say. But that's the life of a speechwriter. You're there to serve the executive. You're not there to serve yourself.
Well, let me just give you a word of encouragement to that, Chris. You were the inspiration for his extraneous conversation, so you could take that to heart.
Yes, that's actually quite valid. That's actually quite valid. And you, I did teach myself that about 2 years in, that if he uses my ideas but sure. not my words, yep. I've still served him well and I've done my job.
Amen.
And more of that. I'm gonna go out on a limb here and say something that's not popular in our culture, but I felt Barack Obama was an extremely overrated speaker. I never heard a speaker who said and any more than he did. He was not anywhere near one of our top orators, but given that credit, just like Hillary Clinton was called the most brilliant in America. The media puts these labels on people that they want them to have, and then they would ignore some of President Trump's great speeches. I thought President Trump's inauguration address was quite good.
Oh, very incredible. Good. Incredible. Incredible. One of the better speeches that I've heard, most assuredly. Final moments here. Shifting into the energy lane for a minute, one of the things that President Trump did accomplish was to get America back at the top of the food chain when it comes to energy. Here in Texas, our governor has joined in with the governor of California in sabotaging those efforts, in my humble opinion. Your thoughts with regards to where we are energy-wise, and how difficult will it be for hopefully President Trump or someone along that line in 2024 to get us back on top again?
Well, thank you for asking that question. I am a subject area expert in energy. I think 5 years, we can be in a very good place. Right now, we're in a very precipitous place, and I'm very disappointed in your governor and in Texas, which should be our greatest energy producer, in going along with the green movement. The green movement, and I wrote a novel called Going Green.
All right, we had a. Does this surprise me? Not even close. Hang on a minute. I'm gonna call him right now and get him on the phone, because this. Okay, wait. There he is popping in.
Am I back?
Yeah, you're back. Yeah.
Am I back?
Yep, you are right back. Okay, go ahead. So very disappointed in, I'm going to give you the time to say this, yep. Very disappointed in the governor of Texas and the Green, and you wrote a book, you were saying. We heard that part. You wrote a book about the Green, and then continue.
Yes, so I was exposing the Green movement for what they are. But one thing we've got to realize is, and I learned this in D.C., a lot of the energy company CEOs are in on it. I always say this, a conspiracy theory is only nuts if there's not a conspiracy. If there is a conspiracy, the conspiracy theory makes perfect sense.
100%.
And there is a conspiracy to climate change hysteria and our failure to utilize our God-given fossil fuel resources. We sit on the richest coal reserves in the world, and we're laying them on the altar of sacrifice to the green goddess of Gaia, and it's sickening. And who's being hurt by it the most? The poor. Not just the poor in the United States, but the poor in Africa, the poor exporting energy and elevating people's standard of living all around the world, and particularly elevating our economy. President Trump was a visionary when it came to energy. He came to DOE headquarters and talked to us about 2 years into his administration and said, I want the United States of America not only to be energy independent, but in fact, energy. And we, January of 2020, we passed Russia and Saudi Arabia in oil production. Sadly, I stayed in D.C. and I stayed in the Biden administration because I needed a job and I needed health insurance. And I worked with them for 6 months before I finally had to resign over ideological differences, because they undid so much of what President Trump accomplished and what we accomplished in the Department of Energy. They undid it so rapidly. It was really quite
sickening.
Depressing.
Sickening,
we went from energy dominance to where we are now.
Chris, thank you for that. I greatly appreciate it. Next time I bring you on, we'll hone more in on this energy issue, because it is a huge issue, and it's a national security issue, and a lot of people don't realize how significant energy is in the security of our nation as well. You know, think about your home. If you're living in your home and you have the ability to be able to provide your own energy and keep your house running autonomously, you now have limited the amount of opportunities for the enemy to be able to disrupt your life. That's a huge, huge deal.
Absolutely.
Chris, thanks so much for that. I greatly appreciate it. All right. Moonshine over Georgia, man. Pick it up. Moonshine over Georgia. Get it at Amazon. Look up Chris Skates at Amazon. And I look forward to having you back. Thank you so very much, Chris.
Thank you.
All right. We're going to take a break. David Wormser joins me coming up on the other side. We're going to talk about Israel live from Tel Aviv. We'll have David with us joining us right after this brief break. Hi, this is Pastor Greg, and you're listening to Chosen Generation Radio. Get more at ChosenGenerationRadio.com. That's Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glass.
Hi, I'm Tim Sheff, a certified natural health practitioner of over 40 years. I want to introduce you to a product that changed my life. The product's called Vibe, available at cgrwellness.com. I thought I was on a good nutritional program before I discovered Vibe. I was taking the traditional vitamin and mineral tablets, wasn't really feeling any different. So I tried Vibe. Vibe is an all-in-one vitamin and mineral supplement. It's a liquid multivitamin. It's cold-pressed, whole-food sourced, non-radiated, gluten-free, and has no pasteurization. Vibe is like fresh juicing without all the work. It supports four areas of the body: cardiovascular health, immune health, anti-aging, and healthy cell replication. Vibe is available in a 32-ounce bottle for home use or a very handy 1-ounce travel packet for life on the go. The first time I tried Vibe, I had more energy in about 20 minutes. I started thinking clear, even believe I slept better. Get yours today at cgrwellness.com. Coupon code CHOSENGENRADIO at checkout and receive $20 off your first order of $50 or more. That's cgrwellness.com, coupon code CHOSENGENRADIO. Get yours today.
These statements have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Any of the products do not treat, reduce, cure, or prevent disease.
My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for in World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. Retailers, shopping channels, and now even banks have tried to cancel myself and MyPillow. Well, during these times, your support has meant everything to us. So my employees and I want to personally thank each and every one of you by passing the savings directly on to you. We're selling the best products ever for the best prices ever. For example, we have my standard size MyPillow, regularly $69.98, now only $19.98 with your promo code. Or you can get custom fit with my premium queen-size MyPillows, regularly $79.98, now just $29.98. Or my king-size regular $89.98, now just $34.98. So go to MyPillow.com now and use the promo code on your screen or call the 1-800 number below to receive this exclusive offer. If you do it right now, I'm going to include a free gift with your purchase. Thank you and God bless.
So up next, we have ClanSlate. When you have different things like cancer and different diseases that are autoimmune related, it can really help with inflammation because you're helping clean the body. And ClanSlate is a formula that's made from a natural orthosilic acid that basically is put into a formulation that's naturally occurring that uses different processes from polarization to heating to cooling to different types of catalysts, which will go in the body and really help communicate to get rid of those things that don't need to be there. People don't understand why there's so many autoimmune disorders, but our environment's toxic. The land, air, and water have changed. We've been exposed to nuclear war, and the issue is if there's a nuclear bomb or there's pollution or there's war in one country, it actually affects everything up to the stratosphere. So we're all connected, and we've really got to clean things out.
You can pick up your clean slate today at cgrforlife.com. That's cgrforlife.com. Pick up your clean slate today.
You can support Chosen Generation and make a tax-deductible donation by visiting www.chosengenerationradio.com. And now, back to Chosen Generation with Pastor Greg.
Okay, welcome back. I'm your host, Pastor Greg. I'm hoping to be in communication with David here shortly. Hopefully, everything is okay. I heard from him at 5:30 this morning, a.m. Apologies. Let me see if I can get a translation here of that. Okay. So I don't know if I can get a translation. But I do know that these are pictures of the munitions, I believe, that are being used. Let me do this. I'm going to play at the end of the day for you, and then I will be right back. At the end of the day, when I stand before my God, I do not want him to ask me, "What did you do with the world that I sent my son to die for and redeem? How did you fight the good fight to share the good news and keep evil in check? How did you shine your light and be a beacon of truth in the darkness? Did you shrink back in fear when they demanded you change my message? Did you call evil good and good evil? Did you forsake my love for that of another, lying with the adulterer and setting up a new idol in your life? Have you defiled yourself through compromise and tolerance of that which I call an abomination? Have you innocent blood on your hands for the children murdered on your watch and the young ones perverted in their way by evil men, seeking their own comfort and reviling me? No. At the end of the day, I want him to simply say the evidence is in. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. I love my God, and I love his creation, and I will go to my grave telling the world that evil is evil, and only God is good, and Jesus came to save the world. That no matter the evil in the world, I will never give up, and in spite of the hate, I will love in truth. God bless you all, and may love remove the veil, so you all might enter into his rest. Okay, still not quite connected. Hopefully we didn't get our times. Hopefully I didn't get my time mixed up. Let's see. All right. Hang on. Let me try this. Okay. It appears that he's not available at the moment. So, we will hit on a couple of other things. Let me see if I got a response from this. So one of the things that I do want to, bring to your attention, and you may or may not have heard of this. A lot of people have, but there is a huge push right now on social media with regards to a bulletin that has gone out regarding potential threats to not just the United States, and Richard and I briefly touched on it. I didn't get into it with Chris, but there is a, from what I am being told, a very credible threat that has been made by the head of Hamas, calling for a global uprising of Hamas, literally around the world. One of the great concerns about that, as it relates to what's happened here in Texas and other places, but in particular here in Texas, is, and I don't want to be a fearmonger, as it were, but one of the concerns, one of the things that I think is necessary to communicate, is that these are some legitimate concerns predicated on the porous border that we have. I find it interesting that Custom and Border Protection released some numbers regarding individuals that they are aware of, and numbers of individuals that they are aware of from leading terrorist areas that have come into the country in the last, 6 months. And those numbers are pretty significant. And I find it interesting that Custom and Border Protection, and I'm not, CBP is only as strong as its head. And Mayorkas is the head of that. And we know from what he has done that he is not serving those people well. And the heads of the union have talked about this, that we've covered that somewhat here on the program. That being said, the reality is that they have a policy in place that's this catch and release. They have now suddenly, and this is why I say the timing of this I find suspect, but they released these numbers just after, from what I noticed, and I may be wrong by a day, but I don't think so. They released these numbers right after the attack in Israel. All of a sudden, they pop up and they say, oh, yeah, by the way, we've let a bunch of terrorists into our country. Now, those of us who've been following this and making you aware of this, we already knew this. We knew that they were in. But now they've come forward and they've attempted to give some of the numbers that are associated with this. And these are, bear in mind that these are just the numbers they know about. The numbers they know about are no greater. At the most, we're talking about a third of the actual number, at the most. So the numbers that they've given, and let me see if I can pull up that graph really quick. Let me see. Releases numbers of so high number of terror suspects arrested. Wasn't that interesting? Okay, so this is CBS 8. Government data from the U.S. Customs and Border Protection shows an all-time high. Now, this was published on October 11th, 4 days after the attack. Border officials say they've seen a growing number of people on the FBI's terrorist watch list entering the country through the U.S.-Mexico border. Wow. Officials said between October 22nd and September 2023, 151 migrants with positive terrorism watch list matches were arrested. The number of known suspected terrorists or anyone connected to one entering a country illegally through the southern border is at an all-time high, according to the government data. And let me see if I can find, I had seen a graph. CBP. Graph. Stats and summaries. So this is the Washington Examiner. It indicates 284 suspected terrorists so far in the fiscal year 2023. That thing I just read you from CBS was saying, well, it's 151 since 2022. How do you get numbers that are half of this number that's now, you know, that was released back in March? I don't know. Maybe you get those numbers because they're hiding that information. It is what we're seeing is just the number I saw was something around 6,280. And that was just from Afghanistan. That didn't include any of the, and, you know, you can say, well, everybody from Afghanistan's not a terrorist. That's probably true. Although there's a lot of, they knew that there was no vetting that took place whatsoever. So sending individuals in was pretty easy for them. Pretty simple. And I would just suggest that, you know, we should be on high alert. So the piece that came out, let me see if I can pull that piece up. The piece that came out essentially says that there is a terrorist threat that has been identified. The leader of Hamas has called for Muslims around the world to embrace a day of global jihad on Friday the 13th. If you live in a major city in America or Europe, the recommendation is to avoid crowded, highly public places on Friday. If you are in a state where you have the right to carry and protect yourself, carry and protect yourself. I would agree with that, that it's even better, you know, get to the grocery store. If you haven't already done it, get to the store today. Between tomorrow and this weekend, there's every indication that there's going to be major outbreaks. And my recommendation to you is get stocked up, make your home your castle, and make sure you're prepared. My friend Dan Gaynor put out a message about a friend that he knows whose friends in Israel basically were fighting off the terrorists from their home until they ran out of ammunition. I don't know how many rounds that was. I have no idea. And I don't know what the average amount of rounds that someone might have in their home. And I know that at this point in time, it's probably too late to tell you to go out and get some. But, you know, as much as you can possibly have to be able to be prepared, to be able to repel, food, the ability to, you know, if you've got a, if you can get a generator and a backup generator, if you can get mechanisms by which you can reinforce, you know, your house, you know, cameras, lights, to make you aware, to give you a heads up, you know, whatever you can do to fortify your house, it's shameful to think that in the United States of America, we're in a place where that becomes an issue. But because of the porous border, because we really don't have a border at present, all it takes is, we have to understand that there, and this is one of the things my friend Phil Haney was trying to make people aware of, God rest his soul, there are homegrown terrorists that are watching videos online and getting training and getting encouragement online. All it takes is a group of homegrown terrorists linking up with one of these individuals coming from out of the country through our porous southern border. And by the way, they're coming in through Canada as well. But all it takes is one of them to hook up with that group. And now you have a group of individuals, 8, 9, 10, 12 of them, that can start going into a community and wreaking all kinds of havoc. And I'm just saying to the communities here, you know, one of the things Chris Gates just said, he said, look, you know, the baby boomers, you know, the even the generation, the next generation below us, but especially the baby boomers, it just seems very, very complacent. Well, everything's going to be okay, you know. I was thinking about this and praying into this because there's, you know, playoffs going on and all these things. Every single one of these stadiums is a jihadi target. Playoff games starting this weekend. Big playoff games. They want the media. They want it. Now, I will assume that MLB and the NFL and so on are putting in place security measures. To what degree, I don't know. But if you're a fan or you're somebody that's going to be attending one of these games, you really, in the back of your mind, need to be thinking about, what are the security precautions? What kind of security am I guaranteed? How safe am I? What kind of a perimeter is there around the stadium? And as we watched and have seen videos of, the terrorists are using drones. The terrorists are jumping into, I mean, that was, they glided in. Well, you know, thinking about where some of these stadiums are, nestled into the center of a city, how easy or how hard would it be for them to glide into one of these stadiums? Not trying to create a panic, but you might want to call the stadium. You might want to call the team, your hosting team, and ask them, what kind of security do you have in place? What are you doing to ensure my safety if I come to your stadium? Beyond normal measures. And then, unfortunately, the other challenge that this creates is, what does it do to our Bill of Rights? As an American citizen with a constitutional right to carry, a lot of these facilities say, no, I don't care about your rights. When you come here, you can't protect yourself. Well, we've seen how the disarming of teachers and how disarmed schools are handled. We've watched in terror at how disarmed facilities in places where individuals know, the bad guy knows that the good guys aren't going to have any means to protect themselves. We've seen how that works out. Not so good. So make some phone calls. Get educated on where you're going. You owe it to yourself. You owe it to your family. If you're going to bring yourself to one of these events, these large gatherings, in light of the threats that have taken place, I mean, you know, Kalen earlier today was talking about, you know, some of the things that we're watching, they're pretty gruesome things to watch. But quite honestly, when you stop and think about the alternative, you know, the alternative is a situation where you are that victim. You know, you are that person. That's pretty stunning. So I would just simply suggest that, now that's interesting. Content you see. Topics, interests, exploring, search settings. So there we go. All right. So, I know you might find this challenging, but I just want you to get an understanding in our final moments here. This is a family. And the terrorists have come into their home.
Good to him. We are here. Hamas, whatever the sun is here. Look at that.
He's been shot in the leg. These are their children. Those are the terrorists.
Where's their... Help us here.
And they're trying to identify individuals and basically scare these people into it. And I'm not going to show you the rest of this video, but they take the father out and basically they execute him, and then they force the son to go to the neighbors and drag the, you know, encourage the neighbors to come out of their house under the threat that if they don't, the son's gonna be killed. And good people of good conscience are saying, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, and they come out. And then they become victims. Here in America, we have a Bill of Rights to protect ourselves. The Second Amendment is our greatest defense. It's the reason why we have had the lack of assault on our soil to this point. But these individuals are brazen, and they've made it pretty clear that they are not intimidated by the fact that we have means by which to defend ourselves. I'm just saying and encouraging you, be prepared. And the final piece, the most critical piece, the most important piece, is your relationship with God through Jesus Christ and the power we have in prayer. I'll talk with you more about that on the program tomorrow. Tune in. Stay tuned. Texas Fully Loaded. Sandra, I'm sure, has a lot of things to share on all of this. And Walter and John, Texas Fully Loaded coming up here on TECN-TV. I will hopefully be able to hear from David here shortly and make sure he's okay. All right. I'll be back. God bless you. Have a great rest of your day.